Hebrew, and notice the difference. Concerning our Savior, it says, let his name endure forever. Let his name be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him happy. That's enough for now. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, let us know that before we knew Christ as Savior, there was this contest going on in the world of which we knew nothing. Your determination that Christ should head up all things in the universe, and the determination of Satan to bring him down. Our Father, now that we have trusted Christ as Savior, we understand that this engagement is still going on, and that Satan and all those that follow him are determined to obliterate even the remembrance of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But at the same time, you are determined, our God, that his name shall be exalted above every name. And we are thankful that we have read in thy word what the ultimate outcome shall be. And we desire to think this night not in the unfavorable way that the wicked thought of thy Son and his name, but the way that the righteous think of thy Son and the desires of their hearts, the things associated with the name of the Savior and those his followers. So we look forward to thee for the enjoyment of these things about thy Son. We remember that he spoke to them the things concerning himself, and that is what we desire to do this night, the things concerning himself. Bless us to that end. You know our sins. We are glad that something can be done about them. As you forgave us as sinners, now as your children, you promised that if we confess them, you are faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. Do that. And our Father, this may be a night when thy Spirit shall work in the heart of one of your children, and it shall be a special night. So prepare the hearts, and let the word be spoken, not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. Bless us this night, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. The difference between the translation of the King James and the 1901, because it says in the 1901, his name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And the more exact translation, let his name endure forever, let his name be continued as the sun, is an important distinction like this. We don't realize it. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, in the King James, there is a prayer for Timothy by Paul. Paul says, consider what I say. The Lord give thee understanding in all things. What does it mean? It means that Paul has been writing to Timothy. He wants him to think on the things that he's written to him, and he's praying, the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now, you look at it in a more exact translation, and it says this, consider what I say, the Lord shall give thee understanding in all things. You say, well, that's remarkable. Because once it is a prayer, the Lord give thee understanding. The other time, it is a promise. And here in like manner, the way I read it the first time, it is a promise. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as the sun. But there is a form in the Hebrew called the jussif, and that is the form. And even though I like it this way, I can't get away from it that it says, let his name endure forever. Let his name be continued as the sun. But it makes absolutely no difference. for this reason. One issues from the heart of the psalmist. He desires these things concerning the Savior to come to pass. And as we read throughout the other parts of God's Word, all these desires of his heart ultimately shall come to pass, the same as all of the references to hope and salvation of the saints of God in the New Testament, like this. It says in Titus, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised. You say, well, there it is. That's not a certainty. In hope of eternal life. But he adds, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised. Well, it is a hope because it pertains to the future. But it is a certainty because God made that promise. And who can overcome God's will that he has determined to come to pass? You say, I see. So when it has to do with hope and the future, then it's not that it may not come to pass, but it simply relates to the future, and for that reason, in hope of eternal life. Right now, we are in possession of eternal life, but at the same time, inasmuch as who hopeth for that which he sees, which he has, when Christ comes back from heaven, then will our salvation be complete. Hope in that sense. Now, in like manner, inasmuch as the psalmist has not yet seen all things put under his feet, as he says also in Psalm 8, thou hast put all things under his feet, and yet we see not yet all things put under his feet, yet that promise that God made ultimately shall be fulfilled, because it says in 1 Corinthians 15 and elsewhere, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. He conquers all enemies, he puts all his enemies, all things under his feet, and then all the promises and desires and hopes of the Bible eventually come to pass. But inasmuch as some are future, it speaks of a hope. And inasmuch as some have not as yet come to pass, they are put in the form of a prayer, a desire. So, the desire of the wicked last week was this. Remember it. It says in Psalm 41 concerning our Savior, when will he die and his name perish? That is the desire of the wicked concerning our Savior. They want him to die. They want his name to perish. And then I proceeded to show you that the desire of their heart was reversed. And the Bible brings this out so often. It speaks about a pit that man has dug. It speaks about a trap that man has set. And it says, he's fallen in the pit that he digged. And he is caught in the trap that he has set. So the very desire of the wicked concerning the person and name of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of those things that they desire for him are going to be their own experience. Because we found three glorious things about the wicked in this respect. They said, when are you going to die? And when is your name going to perish? And the Bible says concerning the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. It says, the name of the wicked shall be blotted out. It says, the name of the wicked shall rot. And it says, the desire of the wicked shall perish. And so everything that the wicked desires, all the traps, all the snares and pits that they have made, they are going to fall into them. And what happens is this. Just like Haman built that enormously high gallows to hang Mordecai upon it, what happened was that God hanged him upon that same gallows. So sad as it may be, but I cannot help but rejoice that all of those that hate the Lord Jesus Christ are going to experience every desire of hatred in their hearts themselves. Isn't that awful? So what is the punishment of the wicked? The desire that they have upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But as for the righteous now, and this is what is such a comfort to us, think of everything that the wicked wanted to happen to the Lord Jesus, and just the opposite is going to happen. But just as God records the desires of the wicked concerning the name of the Savior, so our Savior has concerning himself the desires of the righteous about his name. And the desires of the righteous can be summed up in these verses that I read you from Psalm 72. Let his name perish? No. Let his name endure forever? Let his name be blotted out? No. Let his name be continued as long as the sun. So, we're going to consider for a while the desires of the righteous concerning the name of the Lord Jesus. And the desire is this. Turn to Psalm 48, first of all. I want us to look at some of these references tonight. First of all, Psalm 48, because we're going to discover that all of us who treasure, hold the name of our Savior sacred, we do not want that name blasphemed. We do not want that name falsely interpreted. We do not want that name denigrated. Listen to what God says concerning the name in verse 10 of Psalm 48. As is thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. In the King James it says, according to thy name. Well, in harmony with thy name. As is thy name, so is thy praise. What does this mean? We read concerning Sardis this morning. You have a name that you live, but you are dead. But listen to this. As is thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Have you ever misrepresentatively given a name, a commendation, a recommendation, and then it turned out that that name was false? Have you considered some who you thought to be God's children, and they turned out not to be God's children? Well, there are those that have names, and yet the name that says you're alive, the Savior says you have a name that you live, but you are dead. But concerning our God and concerning our Savior, all the names that are put in the Scriptures, as is thy name, so is thy praise. Everything that God's Word says concerning the Lord Jesus is truth, is reality, and it has been demonstrated, and it shall be demonstrated in God's Word. If Christ has a name that he lives, then he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, I was dead, I'm alive forevermore. If he has a name that he lives. And whatever the Scripture says concerning Christ, he is that, or he is able to do that. I am the resurrection and the life. Show me that you're the resurrection and the life. And so he says to the decomposing body of Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes forth, as is thy name, so is thy praise. And men acknowledged that he had the power to raise the dead. They hated him, but as was his name, so was his praise. And men praised him. And when Lazarus was brought with him, they wanted to put Lazarus to death and the Lord Jesus to death. Why? Because as his name was, so was he. He had the power of life and death in his hand. It says, as the Father raiseth the dead, even so hath he given unto the Son to give life unto the dead. So the Father bestowed this power upon him. Now, think of these names concerning our Savior. And as it says, as is thy name, so is thy praise. All of these things that we've read concerning our Savior that seem incomprehensible. It says this concerning our Savior. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You say, those are names. Those are descriptions of deity. And that's what God wants you to know, that he is God, that when he was born, he was God manifest in the flesh. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And concerning his everlastingness, the Lord Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. As was his name, so is his praise. He lived up to everything. He possessed every attribute and ability and quality concerning all the names that God has given him. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Why? Because it means God with us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was Emmanuel, God with us. It says this, and this is for those who would give Jesus the name of God, but they say, oh, that's an inferior name. It's God in a lesser way. It says in Jeremiah 23:5, this is the name whereby he shall be called Jehovah Tsidkenu. That is Jehovah our righteousness. So our Savior, who is eternal as the Father, he is the name Jehovah. He is given that name, Jehovah Tsidkenu, even though there is the Father, Son, and Spirit. Some of the names of the Father are given to the Son, and some of the names of the Son are also those that describe the Father, and both of them are eternal. Both of them can say, I am. So remember that God is determined in his Word that nothing is told us concerning the name of his Son that is not true, even though not all of these things can be put to the test. Still, the one that could be put to the test, were put to the test, and proved to be true. Who could put to the test the eternity of the Lord Jesus when he says, before Abraham was, I am? Who could put to the test the words of the Savior who said, Father, you love me before the foundation of the world? Who can test such things? You simply have seen our Savior put forth his credentials, empowered by the Spirit of God, to manifest to man the truth of his statements concerning himself. And since they are true, then we accept and we say with Thomas, my Lord and my God. So remember that. As the name of our Savior is set forth in the Scripture, so is he and so is his praise. That is what God wants us to know. Now, turn to Psalm 4. I want you to see this in Psalm 4. That's Psalm 5. Psalm 5, first of all. Psalm 5, look at verse 11. But let all those that take refuge in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. A contradiction is this. One who loves the name of the Lord to be an unhappy Christian. What kind of Christian are you? Here is Paul, who is in prison, and yet he writes to the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. And you say, I love the name of the Lord. It says, then let everyone that loves thy name be joyful in thee. Let me show you this. Turn to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. And look at verse 89 and look at verse 16. 89:16. In thy name do they rejoice all the day. And I won't make you look at other scriptures, but it speaks about those that love the name of the Lord, that know the name of the Lord, that they are to rejoice in the name of the Lord. They are to be glad in the name of the Lord all the day. And I'm thinking that most of us, for no reason at all, because we live on the other side of the resurrection, we are like Cleopas and his companion as they're walking along the Emmaus road, sad, dejected. And the Lord Jesus says, what is the matter with you? Why? He said, don't you know anything about these things? Jesus of Nazareth, we thought that he was going to be the one that redeemed Israel. Now, if you did not know that Jesus was alive forevermore, I can understand your sorrow. But we know that Jesus is alive forevermore. We know his name, and it says that if we know him, certainly he knows us. Known unto the Lord are all of those that love him. Everyone that loves the Lord, it says God knows them. And so for that reason, what is our manner of life? It is to be one of rejoicing because we love the name of the Lord. Now, I'll give you three promises without having you to turn to them. Promises that God makes concerning those that love Him. It says, first of all, concerning those that love Him, that God is to turn His face toward them and show mercy upon them. This is found in Psalm 119. The psalmist says, Oh God, he says, turn toward me and be merciful unto me as you used to toward them that loved you. So think of this. Those that love the Lord experience God. Now, you've read in His Word that God turned His back. Here it says, God, you used to turn your face. You used to turn toward those that loved you and had mercy on you, and that is what I want you to do now. And that's the blessing that Aaron was to put upon the nation of Israel. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And it says that those that love the name of the Lord had this experience in the past. And thank God we can have this experience today, that God will turn and face us, and God will have mercy upon us. And so this is unbroken fellowship with the Lord. As Enoch walked with God, we can walk with God. And as we turn to God, He's not hiding His face from us, but He has turned His face toward us, and we can expect mercy from our God. And it says this. It says that those that love God shall be caused to dwell in Zion. You say, well, I don't know if I want to be there now. No, but in the millennium, you'll want to be there. And so I'm taking it and applying it to us. The Lord Jesus said, you who have followed me, He said, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of His glory, you shall sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And do you know where Christ's throne is going to be in that day? It's going to be in Zion. It's going to be in Jerusalem. And it says, all of those that love His name, they are the ones that are going to be with Him in Zion. Thank God, wherever He is, I'm going to be. If He's in heaven, I'm going to be with Him there. It says, thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Where I am, you may be also. And so if He catches me to heaven, I'm going to be with Him there. If He comes to earth and sits on the throne of His father David, I'm going to be there with Him. I am assured. And as it was for the Jew, those that love Him shall be made to dwell in Zion. So we who love the Lord, and all of us do love the Lord. It may be in a small way, but if we are truly saved, we do love the Lord. It says we're going to dwell with Him in Zion on earth. We're going to dwell in the Father's house, wherever He is. We're going to dwell with Him. And this is what it says concerning the Lord Jesus, who loved the Father. It says concerning Him, because He has set His love upon me, He said, I will deliver Him and I will exalt Him. I will set Him on high. So the Lord Jesus loved the Father, and He was delivered, and He was set on high, and you and I are going to be delivered, and we're going to be set on high, because we love the name of the Lord. Now this, what about the name of the Lord? At what times can it be thought of? Just how are we to look upon it? Well now, let's turn back to Psalm 4. Psalm 4, and look at verse 4. It says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Now turn to Psalm 63. Psalm 63, and look at verse 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. And one other scripture in Psalm 48. Look at this one and then we'll have a triplet. Psalm 48. Look at verse 9. We have thought on thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. And for the sake of time, let me read you this one in Psalm 119, verse 55. This is what it says. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night. Now, here is the psalmist, and he says, I have remembered thy name in the night. So it may be that this psalmist was a Levite. It may be that he was a priest. And so it means that he would remember the Lord during the night watches when he was carrying out his duties in the temple. I have remembered thy name in the night. That, to assure ourselves that it might mean what first came to mind, I read you two other portions about meditating on the Lord in the night, and also communing with God as you're lying upon the bed. Now, I'm wondering, all of you who have insomnia, some nights you lie there and you toss and you turn, this is one of the finest opportunities to think on the Lord, because I've given you all of these examples about thinking on God in the night, communing with God in the night. Upon my bed, the name of God is remembered. You realize that some of the most precious thoughts have come to me as I lay upon my bed. The message that I gave this morning, it came to me last week when I was lying upon the bed. In the night, it came to me, and when I woke up the next morning, I wrote it down. And that was the outline. As you think upon the name of God, it doesn't have to be at a desk in the daytime. As you are communing with God upon your bed, all these things can come to you. And I've read you about the psalmist. I've given you three examples of those that commune with God in the nighttime, that commune with God upon their bed. And it says, I thought upon thy name, O God, in the nighttime. So it's not at any particular time that we think about God, but we can think about Him in the day or in the night. We can think about Him when we rise and walk, or when we lie upon our beds. And I have given this portion, and I will read it to you. It says, we have thought upon thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. And that was my joy this morning. This is a house of God, not in the sense that the temple was, but it's a house built for the glory of God, the meditation of the things of God, the preaching of the Word of God. And so in this house, this morning, I thought upon God's loving kindness. So if we come to a building like this, we may sit and think upon God's name, His loving kindness. And if we are in bed, we can think upon God's name and His goodness to us. If it's day or night, wherever we are, we can think of all of these truths concerning the name of our God. And that's what should rejoice our heart. That just as His Word is to be upon our wrists and our foreheads and written all over our door, so our minds are to be constantly occupied with the name of God, all that that stands for. And these are the things that God wants to have thrill our hearts. Now, turn to Psalm 45, because this is the determination of the psalmist. In Psalm 72, I've seen the desire that his name endure forever, be continued as long as the sun. And now let's see what Psalm 45, verse 17 says. It says, I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. It says, therefore, shall the peoples give thee thanks forever and ever. And one other scripture, Psalm 135, verse 13. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever. Thy memorial name, O Lord, throughout all generations. So, notice, this is what God says concerning the name. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the peoples give thee thanks forever and ever. happens is this. The desire of the wicked, it shall perish, and the things that they desired concerning our Savior, they shall be brought to naught, and just the opposite shall occur. And tonight we see all those things that love our Lord concerning His name, and all the promises that are ours, and all the blessings that are ours, and all the joy that should be ours, and best of all, the certainty that God has determined that the name that man would have to be forgotten, obliterated, is going to be remembered forever. And God has given him the name that is above every name, and that at that name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. And we've begun to bow the knee now, and thank God, we shall continue to bow it throughout all eternity. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as the Son. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let us pray. Now, Father, we thank you that in that name of thy Son, not one name, but a multitude of names, is that which can occupy our hearts throughout our lifetime down here, and then also throughout eternity with him in heaven. We are thankful, our God, for that name. We rejoice in it. Let us know now that we take the name of Jesus upon our lips, and it is precious to us. We rejoice in this. We would not blaspheme that name, our Father, but we would contend against all those who would denigrate that name, who would speak against that name. And we are thankful that you assure us in thy word that everything that your word says about your Son, all the names that he's given, these things are true. We are glad in this. So, our Father, let us be strong, let us be immovable, and let us understand that it is the object of the enemy to do away with the one that we love, to destroy his name. But we are thankful that it is thy determination, and we are your servants through whom this shall be carried out, that his name should be spread to the ends of the earth. And we are glad, our Father, that we know that name, that we speak that name, that we pray to thee in that name. And we are glad that one day we shall hear him speak his name to Jesus. I am Jesus, whom you waited for. We thank you, Father. May his name thrill our souls, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.